Well, we ask the Lord to speak to our hearts today. I have a pretty simple subject. Probably one of the most important subjects we could study, really. I wrote on the board first, and I underlined it a bunch of times, because I hope you remember it. I want to start with a scripture over in Matthew, the 6th chapter, 33rd verse. It says here, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I want to talk to us a little bit this afternoon about seeking the Lord first. A couple of things in this verse, several things here, but the word first, it means... I looked the Strong's Greek up on this. It says, firstly, in time, place, order, or importance. Before, at the beginning, chiefly, first of all. It's pretty straightforward. First. Webster says, advanced before or further than any other in progression, foremost in place as the first man in a marching company or troop is the man that precedes all the rest. You know, I want to think a little bit today about a thought that I believe is at the base of whether we succeed spiritually or not. Most of us here want to go to heaven. Not everybody that wants to go, goes. But there are those that decide they want to go to heaven, and they begin to seek the things of God first of all. Above all else, in front of everything else, at the expense of anything else. Mark 4 and 28 says, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear." And I just want to think a little bit this afternoon what it means to seek and what it means to seek first the kingdom of God. I want to read another set of scriptures, and then maybe we'll talk about some of these things here in a minute. Luke 14 and 26. Says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Now, you know, this is some pretty strong language, and it's like, Lord, do I want to say this to the people? This is what the Lord said, isn't it? He said, if you don't forsake everything you have, you cannot be my disciple. I want to reason with us a little bit this afternoon. Sometimes we wonder why... I'll put it in this context. Somebody wonders, why can't I live victorious? Why can't I make it? Why do I always fall back? Well, I want to tell you something. You can't be his disciple unless he's first of all in everything. Now, first means in the first place. That doesn't mean second. That doesn't mean, you know, I think how many times people, you get to know them and you find out where their priorities are, and you find out what they love, and you find out what they count great in their life. And you go to their place and everything is taken care of in their life, except spiritual things. And when service time comes, there's no time for it. But there's time for everything else. The bills are all paid. The car is spotless. Everything's taken care of. It happens over and over again. And so Jesus said, and I want us to get a hold of this. He said, likewise, like these other things, the stories we've been telling you about here, these scenarios. Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You know it takes the grace of God to live for God? God has to give us grace. He has to give us strength. Young men, I want to tell you something. It's going to take more than you, and I think you already know that, to live for the Lord. If you want that kind of grace, it's there. Because God has it. He has a full supply. He can help us make it. Now, we may have to fight our way through some things. We're going to have to battle some. But I want to tell you today, you can make it to heaven if you put him first. Now, if you like your life, and you like the things that you have, and the Lord comes in along with that, you're very possibly not going to make it until you do put him first. Because I think so many times, and I want to bring up some different kinds of scenarios this afternoon. You know, it's easy for us to use these little words, cliches, whatever you want to call them. I have to have a job. You're right. The Lord doesn't want you to be lazy. And if you're a man and you've got a household, you better be out there working and paying the bills and taking good care of your wife and your children and all the other responsibilities the Lord gives. But I'll tell you something. If we don't put God first, then what will happen is we will say, well, I'm just too busy. I will tell you, and I'm not boasting in this, when I was a young man, I decided this is the way I'm going to go the rest of my life. I'm going to make all my decisions in view of heaven. I'm going to make sure that I have devotions regularly, all the time, the rest of my life. You know, that's what, if we are going to ever do it, we're going to have to decide early on that whatever God's will is, that is going to be first. So many times we say, well, I have all these things. I have to do all my work around the house. That's all fine, but I want to tell you something. If we don't decide in our mind, I'm putting God first in my life, He is going to be taken care of. And whatever I have to do that, I'm going to do. And whatever price I have to pay, I'm going to pay. If we don't do that in our life, I will tell you, it's like a man that sits down to build a tower, and he says, and he doesn't count the cost, and he gets halfway done. I've got a neighbor that started building a house, and I could tell when I was talking to him. He was very confident. You know, I've got a motorcycle I can sell, and I got this, and I got, but you know what? He got it framed up, and he ran out of money. And it sat for a long, long time. And all through the years now, he's been kind of fixing it up because he didn't count the cost. He just jumped into it. You know what? It's like that with us. If we don't decide when we are young, I am going to serve the Lord like He wants me to. The job that I take is going to be a part of God's will. Not, you know what, I'm going to take God along with me to my job. Our job has to be God's. That means where I live. If our job, just because we're going to make $250,000 a year, moves us a long ways from a congregation, I will tell you, it's very probably almost 100% likely. That's not God's will. Just if it's for the money, that's not going to be God's will. Put God first. I'm going to be where my soul can get fed. I'm going to put myself in the way of God. I'm going to choose His will over my will. And when we do that, we find that there is an amazing thing that begins to happen in our life. And I want to look. We talked a little bit about what it means to be first. I believe that we cannot be His disciple because we won't be empowered to be. There won't be anything there but a form, but a desire, a wish. But I want to tell you, if you want to live for God, you can. But you're going to have to put Him first. He's going to have to be number one. Not along with number one. He's going to have to be number one in everything of our life. Our job, we want because we have to supply for the things God's will is, our family, the bills that we have to pay. But our job is not the only thing that we're looking at. I want to look at a few other scriptures because the scripture started out by saying, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." What's it mean to seek? In Colossians 3 and 1 and 2, there's several places here that gives us some pretty good ideas of what it means. He says here, Colossians 3 and 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." You know, that kind of starts telling me when we seek something, we look after it. We go after it. We set our affections on it. Or we set it in our sights. And that's what we look for. And Paul told the Colossians here, he said, you seek first those things which are above. You take care of your soul first. And the scripture we read to start with makes it plain that all these other things are going to be added to you. I want to talk about that here in a minute too. Take care of God's will, and our needs will be taken care of also. In Proverbs 2 and 4 and 5, very familiar scripture we all know, it says here, "If thou seekest her as silver," Proverbs 2 and 4, "if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Now, sometimes and many times, I hear these questions asked, you know, I want to tell you how you do. It says here, if you search, if you seek as silver, as for silver, that means people as they get rich. I've known some rich people. There was a man in Oklahoma City that owned one of the big oil companies or gas companies. They said that he worked 95 hours a week from the time he was young until he died. He was around 50 years old, I believe. Things had turned down and he was fixing to go into a court and he was in trouble and all of that. And I don't know the whole story, but he ran into a bridge embankment, never slowed down or anything. Things had turned down. Do you know when we seek the wrong things, we don't get the right things? Okay? So this afternoon, I want to lay a little foundation here and start our mind maybe thinking about our lives. If you search for God like people search for those riches, That means they're going to get them. He put everything he had into it. I want to tell you, if you want the Lord and you want him real bad, you're going to find him. You're going to find him. But it's going to come like that. You're going to have to get in there, and you're going to have to want it and seek after it. It don't just come rolling down on you. It says, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. I want to tell you, these folks that go looking for things like the Titanic, they looked for years. They searched every square mile for miles, searching, doing the sonar, looking, until they found what they was looking for. They've done that with different wrecks and things. If you want to find the Lord, set your heart and life to do that. And I want to tell you, if you'll do it this way, I believe that you'll see heaven's gates one day. If you'll put him first. Jeremiah 29 and 13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now, I know this sounds pretty simple, and I pray that God will enlarge it to our minds, because I really believe there's something in this that is so basic that sometimes when I talk to people and I'm praying with somebody and you find out, are you having worship? Well, not really. Folks, we'll never make it without that. If we don't take time, I know that we can't just, well, I'm just going to do this and God's going to crank out the blessings. But I want to tell you something. If you set it in your heart, I'm going to make a pattern the rest of my life. The rest of my life, I'm going to have worship every day. Now, I know some days are going to be somebody died and all kinds of things happened. Those days are not real, real often. But set it in your heart. Every day of my life, from now till I die, I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to learn to study the Bible. I'm going to learn. I'm going to be in service when service time comes. I want to tell you, that should not be a question mark in our lives. It's biblical. And I want to encourage us. Set some things in your life so that you can make it to heaven. God set it up to make it to heaven. That's what he wants us to do. But we're going to have to seek the Lord first. When we do that, I want to tell you, there is a most amazing dynamic that happens. Okay? And I want to read a couple of instances of this kind of thing. In Leviticus 25 and 3, I hope we always remember this, because I find that people want to live for the Lord along with all their life. And it ought to be the other way around. I live for the Lord, and my life centers up in that. I don't feel like I'm getting this out like I want it, but maybe the Lord can increase it here. In Leviticus 25 and 3, it says, 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. Why did the Lord say to do this? You ever wondered? He said you can grow your crops for 6 years, tend to your grapes, prune them, get them going real good, and then the seventh year, I don't want you to do anything to them. I don't even want you to pick the grapes that grow on them. I don't want you to touch them for the seventh year. I want the land to rest. And you know, when you look at that, you say, wow. Why? You know what? Let's go on and read a little more. In the 8th verse, 25 and 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. And so what we find is that every 7 years they were not to do anything to the land. Now, and every 49th year was another 7th year, okay? Does that make sense? That was a 7th year. And then the 50th year, he said, you don't do it either. And so there's 2 years, 2 solid years you don't grow anything, and you don't harvest it, if it does grow, of your vineyards and all of that. And so I want to read one more place here in 20. Verse 20 of that same chapter, Leviticus 25. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat the 7th year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the 6th year. And it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. Wow. Now that would be an act of faith. I'm not going to sow my fields. You know what God said? He said, I'm going to put something in place that if you'll do my will, on the 6th year, I'm going to bless it so much that you won't even have to work on it the 7th year. Now that's a deal, isn't it? But they didn't do it most of the time, did they? You know what, young folks, I want to tell you something. There's a dynamic here that we forget. We say, I can't. It don't make sense not to grow crops for 2 years in a row. Why, the thorns will be coming up and all of that. I want to tell you something. Give your life to God first. Obey Him first. The things that we would want to do or what, just consider Him first. Always. Always first. Doesn't mean we can't do things. I've found that it's better than ever if you take God's way. I think these people would have found it too. He said, I'll bless your fields and I'll bless them so much you won't even have to do. You won't even have to work in them that next year. You know, that would have been a really good thing for them had they taken God's way. Young folks, I want to tell you something. There's a dynamic that God puts in place that works. I have seen people that generally the flesh gets involved. And I'm going to talk a little bit about our whole life, okay? Because I'm a preacher don't mean I can never touch finances. This congregation is very good to me, so I'm not pointing at them any. But I want to tell you something. A lot of times we people get to feeling like, I can't give to the Lord. I will tell you how I feel. I can't afford not to give to the Lord. I can't afford not to. I want to make sure I do my giving. And I want to make sure it's enough. You know, this morning or this afternoon, I want to tell you something. You feel like, well, I can't do that for the Lord. Okay. You've got that privilege to say that. You'll never see the dynamic of the Lord work. I can't say anything. I'm timid. And I know the Lord wants me to. He's burning in my soul. But I can't. I can't do His will. I know what that's like. Remember the first time the Lord called me to come up to this place. And the devil tempted me to turn around and go out the back. And he really tempted me too. But I want to tell you something. The dynamic of the Lord starts working. And it's an awesome thing. Young folks, don't limit the Lord in your life. Old folks, don't limit the Lord in your life. Put Him first in everything. Well, I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't. I won't have enough time for my own stuff. You know what? I'm not asking you to do things that deprives your family. I'm asking you to consider the will of the Lord first. When you know it's God's will, then do it. Do it at the expense of yourself. When you know it's God's will. I don't believe, and this isn't really a lot about finances and things, but I want to tell you something. That just brings the point easier than most other things. But I want to tell you, in those areas, if we shortchange God, He said, you can't be my disciple. That's what He said. And He said it three times or so, or four, right there in that one reading that we had. If you don't, you can't be my disciple. You know what? I kind of hate to read negative things like that. That's what the Lord said. And sometimes I really believe somebody is struggling along and struggling along and struggling along, and they're living life just like they want it. All the things of life just like they want it. And they're trying to come to church and get God too. It's backwards, folks. It's backwards. Our whole heart, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do with what I have? Lord, what do you want me to do with my time? Ooh, but it's time's valuable. Time's precious. But He's liable to want me to do something. You're right, He may. But we forget the dynamic of the Lord. Don't ever discount that. Consider first, what is God's will? And then everything else comes in behind that and with that. And what I've found is that I believe wholeheartedly, folks, if you seek first the kingdom of God, and you seek it like men seek silver, and that's what it takes, okay? If you want to make it, then set your heart on it. I want to make heaven my home at all cost. And can you pray the prayer? Lord, meddle in my life. Lord, would you take your finger and meddle in my life and do whatever you want with my stuff, with my finances, with my future, with my past? Lord, I want you to have it your way. And that's it. Do you know that when you look at life like that, you feel like you're giving up all? You are. That's the cost. But the thing that we get back is everything. We get back God's dynamic, folks. And so these people could not get a hold of that. When the Lord gave the children of Israel in the wilderness manna to eat, He told them, Moses told them, He said, you gather enough manna for that day. And don't gather any extra. You gather one omer, and that's it. And do you know that some people just couldn't believe for that? They gathered enough to have some left over. Well, for whatever reason, at that time, God wanted them to be completely in His hand. He wanted them to know, I'm taking good care of you. And so, it says that... let's see, what did it say there? It said it stunk and it bred worms overnight. I want to tell you something. When you keep something back from God, whether it's your time, do you really think that it's worth the time every day to take some time out and worship the Lord? I mean, is it really worth the time when you've got money to make and places to go and things to take care of and all of that? Is it really worth the time to stop and be quiet and give God some time and study His Word and worship Him? Is it really worth that? Well, I will tell you, if we keep our time to ourselves and we hold it to ourselves and we won't give it to God, it will stink on us. We will wonder why our life stinks. We will wonder why that sin keeps creeping back up on me. And we'll wonder why. I want to tell you, if you want to have victory to make it all the way in, you're going to have to put God first. All the way. First. Not along with, first. Everything else a part of that. And so when we start considering our life and all of those things, it doesn't mean that we can't move forward in life. It doesn't mean that we can prepare for our vocation and all of that. That's all part of God's plan, for most people anyway. In one way or another, probably for all of us. But take God's way and do His will. And be careful in that. These people didn't trust God enough to do it His way. They had to get more than an omer. And Moses was very upset with them. Why? I told you not to do that. Do you know that I find, young folks, there's a bunch of you here. That's why I'm talking to you today, I guess. Listen, if you do it your way, I promise you it will stink and it'll breed worms. Do it God's way and it'll bless you every day. It'll bless you today. Our time, our devotion to the Lord's will. I want to tell you something. God needs people. He needs singers. He needs people to clean this chapel. Oh yeah, but that's for somebody. Listen, if we won't do all of those things, take upon ourselves the whole yoke of the Lord. Lord, I just want to be a part of your work. What do you want me to do? Uh-oh, he may tell me something if I ask him that. You're right. And he may just put a dynamic in there that blesses you, that you couldn't have had any other way. Because you was doing his will, not because you was doing something great. Because you were doing his will. And so, let's don't rob God and take from him. In Malachi 3 and 8 to 12, we're quite familiar with that. Listen to what God said to these people. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God said, in tithes and offerings. Now this was in the Old Testament, I know. But believe me, it's even more so today. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation has robbed. Even the whole nation, all of you have robbed me. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. And this is why I'm using this example, because it brings out this illustration of God's dynamic that goes to work. He said, you do my will. You can apply this to anything in your life. Do his will. And he said, now you prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to contain it, to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Do you know this morning, I'm sorry, this afternoon, I just want to encourage you to give yourself to God first. I know this is an awful simple thought, but I want to tell you, when you start working with people and you start, all right, what is it? Where is the hang up? Where is the problem? I want to tell you where it always lies. It lies in me taking my own way and my own self. And when we give that up and we take God's way and we humble ourselves, Lord, all I want to know is your will and your way. Do you know that we may make some mistakes along the way, but if our heart is right in it and we really want that, I want to tell you, it'll affect everything in our life. And the blessing of the Lord, he said, try me out. Just try me. You just prove me. That's what he meant. Try me out and you watch and see. You do my will first and you see if I won't open the windows of heaven, and I'll pour you out a blessing that you can't even contain. You don't even have enough storehouses for it. I believe that today. I found it to be true in our life. So I want to look at just a few other things. I know it's afternoon service. 1 Timothy 4 and 12. Look at some real practical issues in our life. 1 Timothy 4 and 12 to 16. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, That means in life, in your pattern of living. In charity, it includes your verbal conversation, I'm sure. In charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, Timothy, till I come, give attention, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Now, young folks, you may just discount if you're not careful. Well, yeah, I need to have worship and I need to go to church. Listen, the Lord's looking for somebody that he said here, he said, you give attendance to these things. And he says, you meditate, give thyself wholly to them. That's what he told Timothy. Was that just for Timothy? I want to tell you something. You want to do more than just survive. You want to thrive. Give yourself wholly to it. And trust the dynamic of God. But if I do, he may call me. Listen, first, give yourself to God. But what if he asked me, give yourself first to God. And then ask those questions. If it's God, it'll be okay. Now, if it's us, it might not work out too good. But I want to tell you something. If God's working, you can't go wrong. Let no man despise your youth. You know, in John 5 and 39, it says, search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Young folks, I want to urge you, and all of us, search the Scriptures. Read them. The Scriptures should not be surprising to us because we've read them. The Lord wants us to know His Word. Take time to do that. And I believe the dynamic of God will work in ways that will really bless us. In Acts 17, well, I'll just mention these to you. Acts 17 and 10 to 12. It says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks and of men not a few. Do you know, I find that people cop out. I can't sit still. I can't read. I can't. Listen. If you want the dynamics of God to work, then quit saying I can't. Don't say I can't. Say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And you know what? Maybe we're not a Bible scholar. Maybe we're not somebody that is deep into books. But I want to tell you, God has a way for you too. And I want to tell you something else. He has a way for you and me to study, to read, to pray. Take time. Take time to steal away with the Lord. See, first, not last. Not, well, you don't understand, my life is too busy. I don't buy that argument. Folks, I've been busy almost all my life, or a big part of it. And I want to tell you, we've run a business too. And if you don't decide God's going to be first, then He'll always be somewhere besides first, very likely. If you're going to make Him first, you're going to have to make Him first. I'm going to have worship every day, which means that I may have to cut out some other things. I might not be able to grow my business like I wanted to. I might not be able to do some things like I wanted to, because it's worthwhile for me to be able to go to service and for me to be able to have worship every day and for me to be able to have worship with my children and my grandchildren and or whatever time you are in your life. Is it worth it for you? I want to urge you today. Don't be lied to by the enemy. I feel like so many times So many times we are lied to by the enemy. I can't, or something like that. And what happens is, when we say I can't, I'll give you an illustration. When we... And here, I'm not bringing finances up because of finances, but it brings an illustration that is much easier to bring than in other ways. And I want to tell you, when we fill our lives up with all kinds of stuff and God is last, then we don't have enough left for Him. Now, I've seen that happen. I've had people even tell me that. I can't. Well, and I'm thinking, what about all these things that I sure can't afford? You know what? It's like that with our time too. I can't. I'll tell you what would have worked. That would have been to put God first and then say, I can't afford that. I can't afford to go there because I've got to be at church. I can't afford to do this because it'll eliminate my ability to really focus in my worships upon the Lord. I know this is really simple stuff today, but I want to tell you, I really believe this is at the base and the bottom of a whole lot of our lives. And I think many times when you go to try to help someone, you're going to find that somewhere self is ahead of the Lord. And that gives us trouble. It mustn't be. And we find it that way sometimes, don't we? Accidentally, it just creeps up on us. It's like Brother Marty said this morning, you've got to keep up with that stuff. You got to get rid of. The devil kicked your anthill over. Okay, I got to pitch stuff out. I got to rebuild. I've got to get it right again. And so, but what the Lord finds out is, He finds out, this is a man after my own heart. You know what? Something will come along and upset his apple cart, and he'll be in a straight place for a while, a really difficult thing. But I'll tell you what, he's going to dig his way back out because he's got a heart after God. And he's going to come back. He's going to be one of my children. So the Lord help us today. One more place maybe. In Psalms 27 and 4. One thing, listen to this. I love this psalm. Psalm 27 and 4 to 8. It's a psalm of David. And you hear David's heart that God saw in him from the start. Here's a man after my own heart. Let me tell you what God saw in David. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Now, he could have sought after being king, but he knew he couldn't do that. God had put a king in place, and David wasn't going to touch that. He wanted God's will. One thing will I seek after. Not the kingdom, not the riches, not everything. I'm going to seek after God. He says here, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. Wonder how David found that out. I think he found it out a lot of times, didn't he? In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When Thou saidst, seek my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. I love that today. What was in David's heart that God saw? Lord, when You said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. I hope that however old I get to be, I hope I still see all of you all here, especially you younger ones at least. I want to tell you, you can be here always was like, Lord, how I see people fall away. I don't want to fall away. Lord, have mercy on me. I want to tell you how. Just put Him first all the way. When your heel gets kicked over and when your life gets turned upside down, you're confused and you don't know what to do, just put Him first. Just keep putting Him first. When everything's confused around you and people are leaving and people are saying different things, and you know, that happens from time to time. Things get so confused, the air gets murky, I don't know which way I'm going. Oh, just put Him first. It'll be all right. Just put Him first. Don't get carried away with anything. Lord, I believe when the dust all settles and You make my vision clear, I'll know what to do. And just stay put. But my heart, Lord, I'm going to seek You. And everybody's getting a bad attitude and everything. Or the young people, maybe some groups are different than others. Some will drift off to the world. Seems like people have a lot of influence on one another. And you feel that pull. And you feel, and what's going to happen? Oh, just seek the Lord. Put Him first. Go to service. Be there. Be counted on. If you can understand everything, fine. If you can't, fine. That's all right. But put Him first. Do that all your life. And I believe when your time comes to die, the Lord will say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Amen.